Hold on to your butts, it's time for a new episode of Destroy All Culture, a sonic death ray from Dimension X that sounds exactly like a weekly podcast hosted by Adam P. Nave and Aiden Morgan. Exposure to Destroy All Culture is 100% fatal, so we put it on the internet. Now listen and die! Lethal effects may take up to 75 years.
Oh my goodness, it's episode 167 of Destroy All Culture. I'm Adam P. Nave, and with me as always is Aiden Morgan.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness golly.
Who would have thunk it that we would get to 167?
I don't know. We did, because we tried recording 167 last week and it didn't work. So
That's true. Yes, exactly. I don't even know. I have that stub of an episode sitting on my computer, but
yeah,
I don't know if you even want it.
I did. Maybe. I mean, give it to me. I'll see if I can. This might be a shorter episode if I don't. So we'll see what happens. Anyway.
All right, well, cool. Sounds good.
So really the big thing, I think, this past week was that the last two parts of Crisis aired.
Yes. All on the same night. So you could take it in just the course of under 90 minutes. Pretty much.
Yeah. Which I think, again, like we talked before it aired, that was a really interesting bit of decision, right? Like to air the first three parts one a night and then the last two back to back. I think seeing both parts, it was a very good decision because that fourth part kind of doesn't stand alone in a way that the other parts do.
Right. Yeah. I think if you didn't, it felt like if you look at all five, the fourth part is kind of like the sort of weird little, it's like the part in the orchestral piece when it's just some guy on a tuba going like that for about 45 minutes. So yeah, that would not have worked all on its own. People would have felt a little bit.
And I've seen some people already. It was just padding and all this, and they didn't really need four episodes. I did like it for what it did. And to just jump into spoilers and all that.
Oh yeah, that's right. To be clear, I think it's probably of the five episodes, it's certainly, though, as a standalone, it's certainly the weakest of the bunch, but I don't think it was unnecessary by any stretch.
Exactly. I mean, I like the whole we have to go find them in the Speed Force in the past thing, just because they were all centered in one way or another on Arrow bits, it felt like.
Right. I mean, this was an episode of Arrow, so
right. That makes perfect sense. The big, like, Ollie dies thing.
Yes, again. I was like, hey, didn't you already die?
Well, sure, again, but do like that over the course of 8 years, we've gone from here's a guy who, like, shoots arrows and kills people and there's no, like, superpowers or anything to he's flying.
Yes. He's flying
and
he's...
It shows you how far the universe has come, right?
Right, yeah, he's shooting beams of light into the sky and so on. Yeah, and of course... He gets to say, and I think we made jokes about this, he gets to say, you have failed this universe.
Well, we did. Frank called it, that like he really wanted it to happen.
Right. So there you go.
And genius that they worked that in.
I got a kick out of it. I did. I think there were, as I said to you before, there are a few different kinds of, like, Crisis on Infinite Earths watchers. There are those who are going to be, like, freaked out by Ezra Miller's Flash showing up. There are those who are going to be freaked out by Marv Wolfman showing up in the following episode. And then there are those who are, like, freaked out and delighted by Bebo showing up.
Well, and we'll get there. I was delighted by all three, actually.
Yes.
I will say that when the Ezra Miller thing happened, watching it, like, pretty much live, like, no one knew it was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And at first I thought they were reusing footage.
Yes.
Like, from Justice League. And then it was clear they weren't. And I was like, I was just impressed, you know?
Yeah.
It's well done and well done keeping it. If you've seen what happened, they, of course, filmed it after everything else.
Right.
And no one but the crew on set and Grant Gustin knew it was happening. So they could keep it really locked down.
Yes. Yeah, that was pretty great. Although, unfortunately, I had it spoiled for me. It wasn't by somebody on Twitter or anything like that. I just said, "Oh, time to watch time to watch Crisis on Infinite Earths, and as I was sitting down, one of my tabs was open on the front page of YouTube, and one of the tiles was Ezra Miller, and it said Crisis on Infinite Earths surprise. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake!
Oops. Like,
fucking internet! It will ruin your day.
I managed to be surprised by it. So,
yep,
that was nice.
That is nice.
Also, can we just? I mean, we don't have to go into it, but just how sad is it? How terrible that suit looks!
Oh,
like we all knew that, like the Ezra Miller Flash suit looked bad in Justice League. We knew this.
Well,
but to see it against the current like TV show Flash costume, it was
exactly
wow.
Well, here's the thing: like Miller's costume is terrible and clunky and just kind of an eyesore. But everything else I'm just kind of paraphrasing what you're saying. Everything else in the Justice League show was also an eyesore, so it didn't stand out as much. Yeah, I mean, Cyborg's like CGI getup was just horrendous, and I think next to that, Miller's Flash looked presentable, but holy shit, yeah, I mean, Gustin's like lower budget TV costume looked so much better. I was amazed. Yeah.
And, I mean, part of that, I don't know how it would look. I mean, my guess is it'd still look worlds better, but versus the first Flash costume on TV, right? That's the other thing, is you have to keep in mind that this is the fifth iteration of that suit.
Right.
So they've had some time. But again, they haven't changed it that much.
That's true. I mean, they've sort of made it a little less, like, they've moved towards more natural-looking fabric, I think, in the Flash.
And they've made it a little brighter.
Yeah, and Miller even says, "Hey, that looks great. Love your costume. Looks really breathable." So that's exactly it. It kind of looks like something, almost like something a normal person would wear, and not like a Snyderverse sort of figure.
But yeah, outside of that, the fourth episode was, you know, I did question the whole, and you know, it was budget issues because this costs them so much to do this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole, it's the Paragons. What are they actually useful for? Staring into the mid-distance.
Yeah, I think they...
I'm willing to bet. I personally am willing to bet that at some point they had like energy coming from them and realized that it really did look like the Care Bear stare and were like, you know what? Let's just not even do that. Let's just not do it.
That, oh my God, because each beam would have probably been a different color.
Right.
Oh my God, that would have been hilarious. Oh well, that was, and I think if I have one note for the CW's DC shows, when they the next time they do a crossover, if they could skip the inevitable scene that they do every single crossover, in which they're all standing around punching CGI smoke monsters, I think I'm good for that.
I thought this was great, if only because...
Okay.
The first time, in the first episode, when they're punching CGI smoke monsters.
Right.
And it's they're destroying a whole world, and how are we going to stop them, and all this, and you're like, well, but, like, Sarah Lance is doing it with just, like, a stick, so really, how bad are they?
Yes.
And then this time, it's like, Ryan Choi is just kind of punching at them a little bit, and they're vanishing. I'm like, is it because he's a Paragon? Is that what they're trying to sell us, or is it... These things are not a threat. Like,
right. Until they sometimes are, then they can do bad things.
Right. And again, like, it's... Look, every superhero movie, every superhero show has the essential punch a smoke monster thing.
Yep. Or they
I just deal with it.
Or like every season in Buffy, the monster... Like the big bad or the monster is insurmountable till suddenly they're not. Suddenly they're very surmountable.
Right. I mean, that's how it works.
Yeah, and it's because like this time the heroes really they really mean it. they really really mean like put some heart behind those punches. I know it's
and
it's...
with the CW stuff specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I have found a way to watch them that makes them joyful. Those scenes specifically.
Oh, okay.
Okay, when you watch it, picture them filming it. Just remove all the CG monsters from your head and just picture them just being directed. Okay, now kick. Okay, flail. Okay, do yeah. Like, and it suddenly becomes funny.
It yes. I mean, it's clear that's kind of what's going on. But I hear what you're saying. I like to think that there's somebody throwing garbage bags at them, Frank, actually. That's
ooh,
my
I like it.
That's what I imagine. Just like, here, it's a smoke monster. Kick that glad bag. Oh, God damn it. Oh shit, Osric's down. The glad bag got him. Oh,
well,
damn it.
The terrible thing is, like, he's actually like a trained martial artist.
Is he really?
Oh, for yes, fuck's sake. So he had to like really work to look like he didn't know what he was doing.
Oh my god, that's great.
But anyway, moving on to part 5, because part 5 is really where this thing like shined.
Yeah, part 5 was, here's the thing, part 5, I mean, just if somebody said, how would you structure an hour of television, you could show them this and say, don't ever do this, because this is a 1-in-a-million shot at working, because it was so much different stuff and tones and crap thrown into one episode.
But it was the Legends part.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
And that's why it works.
Precisely.
Like, there's nothing they did that the Legends don't tend to do every episode, right? Like, mismatched tones and everything. It's just, yeah, that's Legends.
Yeah, I mean, like, as we point out regularly on these crossovers, whenever it's the Legends part of the crossover, everybody gets... It's no longer really the crossover. Everybody is caught up in the Mad Legends universe, and that's just the way
right.
It is.
Yeah. I mean... The Bebo thing with, you know, everyone else being like, what the hell? And Nate taking a picture.
Straight
through to the Bebo's off limits, like just getting angry about it. Like, that's the other thing, is that this got way more meta suddenly in this last hour. Even, like, despite the, like, oh god, a crossover thing that kept happening.
Mm-hmm.
This episode really dug in.
Didn't at one point Diggle say something like, I'm never going to let my kids watch this show? Or the line was something...
Right, like
perilously...
meaning the Bebo show, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it was perilously close to like him like looking at the camera and saying, hey, kids.
Right.
You know, but, you know, deliberately so. And it was just, it was a sheer delight to see it happen.
And that's right, it was just nothing but fun.
But this episode also had one of my favorite scenes from that I can recall from any sort of CW DC show. It's the scene with Sarah and Barry just sort of sitting on the steps, and what Oliver's death really means for the character. And I thought, holy shit, this is. Just like they're just pulling out like this heartfelt moment in this jumble of other stuff. And I was just kudos for making that work so well.
Yeah. Also, I'm impressed with how they managed to stitch everything together and just be like, okay, don't worry about it. Like everything you saw happened, obviously, but we, like the other heroes, remember the old timeline. And now there are going to be different things and who knows what.
Yes.
You know, like Lex Luthor is suddenly a good guy, or at least pretends to be. Lena has apparently maybe changed. So you suddenly can go back to all the shows in the second half of them now and be really interested in what's going to happen.
Right.
Because how has this changed Supergirl? How has this changed, you know, like, well, at least in Supergirl, like, Lex runs the DEO. Like, how has this changed the Lena stuff? How is this changing Batwoman? You know, it's fascinating to be like, okay, well, now all the shows get more interesting, right? What does this do to Black Lightning?
I'm curious about that. I'm pretty sure that Supergirl is going to be the one, because I find that of all the other shows, Supergirl is the most porous in a way, like in the same way that Legends is porous. Supergirl is sort of is willing to like accommodate crazy reality changes,
right?
And Flash too, but it seems always a little more sort of pretentious with Flash. I can't imagine Batwoman upending the status quo much at this point, because it's just kind of getting started.
No, but I think that Wolf brought a bunch of lessons from this.
Yes, I think
so. You know,
so.
She has friends now, and how adorable is the whole, like, every time Kara sees her, she's like, yay, it's her!
Oh, God, hey, it's Kate!
Straight to, like, the end where, like, she's hanging out with them watching TV.
Yes.
So it's like we're already putting her in a better space mentally.
Yeah.
And she's seen what can go wrong. Like it's going to reposition the entire show quietly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right. Like Supergirl's going to see a massive amount of change. I think Flash will see some change, but mostly in the, well, what do we do now? Because we've spent the entire show leading up to this moment.
Right.
Legends won't change at all. Legends is going to legend. And Black Lightning is going to be interesting to see them suddenly part of a bigger world, right?
Yes.
I do feel bad for them because they still film in Atlanta.
Oh, that's right.
Everyone else is up in Vancouver. It's like, so crossover stuff ain't going to happen that often.
No, that kind of makes sense. That could still work for Black Lightning. It'll just be like, because Freeland is seemingly sort of a ways away from everywhere else. But Flash could show up, I guess, in Black Light. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a thing. but yeah, it's like I don't know. I wasn't expecting them actually to fold Black Lightning into the universe just because of the filming difference. But maybe they're going to change it. Who knows?
Who knows? I mean, they've moved shows to Vancouver before.
Yeah.
And here's the other weird thing is that there's still a multiverse. There's still like I was like, wait, why isn't what? How did these things show up again?
Well, because and again, we get that voiceover, like, you know,
precisely.
He could restart it and rebuild it, but it still does fracture after that.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I just, but it's just funny because I mean, the in the comic, of course, the whole point was to like boil it down to one sort of continuity, but
sure.
Realistically, they still can't do that. For their properties, so they have to have
really
some.
What's really funny is that they kind of did two different crossovers. At the very end, yeah, because Crisis ends with just there's no more multiverse, right?
Right.
Infinite Crisis brings back the multiverse, but we suddenly get what was Earth One is Earth Prime.
Right.
So it's kind of like they kind of tacked that on. I really did like the Stargirl a little bit, just because they finally established Earth 2 as the Justice Society Earth.
Right. Yes, I noticed
as
that.
As opposed to in Flash, where it was like it was what Earth 3 was in the comics. They kind of mm-hmm. fixed that.
I watched a new trailer for Stargirl just the other day, actually, which mm-hmm. they've obviously, I mean, because you see the sort of the whole cohort of heroes in that little bit. So they need to introduce them in the trailer. And I have to say that it has to be the most wholesome CWDC thing yet.
Sure. I mean, well, that's, you know, that's the Justice Society, right? Like, that makes sense
exactly.
to me.
Exactly, yeah.
And it means that, like, the next crossover, which is supposed to be smaller, can be big in terms of cast just because it can be a Justice League, Justice Society crossover.
Right.
Even though we cannot use the words Justice League, the Arrowverse has set them up finally. And hey, we can actually call it the Arrowverse now because Ali started it.
That's true.
But yeah, I have been hearing rumors that they might just call them Super Friends, but there might be an issue there, and they could go with Super Buddies.
Super Pals?
Well, the Super Buddies thing is a weird old joke back when they were doing Justice League International.
Oh.
And they brought it back, and they couldn't use the Justice League name anymore. Like, internally, it was a thing, so they started calling themselves Super Buddies because they didn't have the rights to use Super Friends. So we can just go right to that joke again.
Cool. I like it. Oh, did you happen to see the latest Harley Quinn by any chance?
No, I haven't caught up at all. I'm many episodes back.
There is a very puerile but very funny joke where Poison Ivy says, we call ourselves the LOD. And Ivy says, oh, is that the Legion of Dildos? And Luther says, that is the name of a sex shop down the street with whom we are currently in a protracted legal battle. And they just move on. Anywho.
Perfect.
Still a fun show, that Harley Quinn.
But back to Crisis for a minute.
Yes.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I think they did such a fun job. And again, having Legends end it was the right choice, right? Like, you need this episode to be the joyous look at us.
Right.
You know, here's the new status quo going forward. Here's how much fun it's going to be. And I think they really sold that. Like, this feels like if 8 years ago they had known what they knew now. You know what I mean? Like, if they felt secure and weren't like, well, you can do this hour thing, but you can't really. I mean, it's superhero-y, but it's not really superhero-y. And then they slowly get the ability to add it on. Like, if they knew what they knew now, back then, this is what the universe would have been to start.
Right. Yeah. I think, but they needed that. They needed that grim, dark nonsense, which was so in vogue
right.
8 years ago.
Right. And again, Batwoman will continue it, frankly.
Yeah. Oh no, that's where you go for your weekly dose of grim. I understand perfectly.
The Superman and Lois show was ordered to series already.
Uh-huh.
Which also brings back one interesting line of there are two kids now.
Yes. What's
And I have heard two theories on that.
Okay, I'm really curious.
I know which one I like.
Okay.
Before Jonathan Kent existed in the comics, there was a short period of time where there was Chris Kent. And Chris Kent was like this kid that they adopted who was in the Phantom Zone and he was Kryptonian. And it turns out that he was Zod's kid.
What? Oh.
And like they didn't know at first or something like this. And that all becomes a thing. So that would be the fun way to go.
Yes.
You know, because then you get to bring in Zod, right? And you have all that.
Stepdad Zod. Okay.
The other thing I've heard is that given the Bruce Wayne is missing, it's Damian.
Oh.
That, like, Bruce left Damian with them.
Interesting.
And this is how we get a Super Son show, essentially. Like, a side show.
Right. Now, I like that idea, but I'm really, really stuck on the notion of them having to deal with, like, crazy, racist, genocidal Uncle Zod. I think
well,
that
that's
would
just
be...
it, right? You have like two super kids. One's good. One wants to be good, but he kind of isn't. And I mean, you could get interesting things out of it,
right? Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
On the other hand, asshole Damian not putting up with like Superman shit would be amazing. So, you know, I'm here either way. The Green Arrow spinoff, which next week we're going to see the backdoor pilot for.
Right.
Apparently, Ollie made, like, a few weird changes to the timeline, besides giving Diggle his daughter back.
Yes.
Which, of course, completely screws up the future that Mia is from.
Oh, that's true. And strange.
Apparently, she'll be known as Mia Queen.
Okay.
She will know that, like, Ollie is her father and know that, like, he sacrificed himself. But won't have, like, she'll still have been trained, but won't have the memories of everything that happened.
Oh.
As far as I understand it.
Okay.
And that, like, Star City has been kind of peaceful and great, so she hasn't, like, she has people skills. And she was raised okay. And, like, the city is, like, has been, like, peaceful for years because of, you know, Ollie rebuilding stuff. And now things are starting to happen. So it's going to be a completely different show than we thought. The future has been completely wiped out from what we knew. It's just she's still the same character, except she is not as broken or dark.
You know, that's all right. I don't mind too much. I can live with that. I think the whole storyline with trauma and brokenness, you know, it's fine. But you know, why not take this opportunity to like tell different stories?
So. You know, I'm curious to see how that's going to work. I don't know if that's going to make it, frankly.
I mean, when have they ever sort of canceled one of these shows?
Well, but they haven't picked it up. I mean, there are a bunch they haven't picked up.
That is true.
I'm really glad they're picking up the Superman Lois show because I think that both those actors do such a great job in their roles.
Mm-hmm.
And with John Cryer as Lex. God, did he not prove he was probably the best live-action Lex we've ever gotten in Crisis?
It is kind of crazy how good Cryer was. Just that right mix of, like, sort of constant sort of, like, impatience and condescension and sort of...
And mania and genius.
Mania and genius. And just, you know, having to, like, grudgingly... Like, whenever he has to acknowledge somebody else's humanity, he just does it so grudgingly. Like, I guess, all right. You know, after playing such a schlub on Two and a Half Men for so many years, I'm sure Cryer is having a really good time with this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a big, like, scene-eating role.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And he's just embraced it.
Yeah. But he doesn't eat the scenery too much. Like, he's got a really good handle on Lex Luthor. And knows when to pull out Well, he knows when to pull out like the real sort of like mania parts and when to keep them dialed in.
So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that Superman show now. And I do want, like, everything was renewed, by the way, if you didn't hear. Everything was renewed for another season. So we'll get another season of Flash, we'll get another season of Supergirl, you know, Batwoman, Black Lightning, and, of course, a sixth season of Legends, God Help Us All. it's the show that will not die.
Right.
Thank God.
That's
but I do wonder if the next season might be the last for Supergirl.
Oh.
Just if we're going to have a Superman show, having both of them feels weird, unless they need to figure out a way to differentiate it. And the parent stuff might be enough.
Yeah. I just find it so strange that there's this proliferation, still, like, ever-proliferating number of these superhero shows. And I used to think, when are we going to hit peak superhero? We won't.
I mean, Flash has been the number one rated show on CW since it started.
Wow.
It still is. And, like, Batwoman is number two right now?
Jesus. That's pretty cool. I mean, what else do they got?
Yeah.
I mean, they've lost like there's a
they
superhero.
They have Legends, goddammit.
They have Legends, but I mean they no longer have things like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and Jane the Virgin.
Right.
Like a whole different sort of stripe of their.
They have Dynasty,
shows.
I guess.
Yeah, I guess they have Dynasty.
I secretly in my heart, of course, I want Legends to overtake all of them and just be like, this is the number one rated show on the network. We're sorry.
Yes. I was also very, very tickled to see a shot of all the members of Doom Patrol dancing like idiots in front of the mansion.
Right, like, if you're gonna, like, be like, okay, look, it's the Titans universe is now separate from the Doom Patrol universe, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna show you this, like, here's 10 seconds of, like, every show and some of the movies, including, if you didn't catch it, that Green Lantern thing was footage from the movie.
Okay.
Just to fuck with us.
That's what I thought. But definitely.
But the let's include a shot of Doom Patrol was like, people who've never seen Doom Patrol must be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, the others are like, oh, that's Green Lantern. Oh, there's some heroes. Oh, there's just a bunch of idiots dancing around in front of a building. What the hell?
Doom Patrol. It's like Legends. But more cursing.
That's exactly it.
And darker, frankly.
And yes. Yeah, exactly. Weirder, darker. Yeah, and if essentially, if Mick Rory could you know actually curse all the time, then this is what you'd get.
Yeah, except for the language, like except for like the tone barriers, mm-hmm. The Legends Doom Patrol crossover is still the thing we deserve as a society.
I agree.
But I also worry that like Doom Patrol would steal Bebo. So, like, just as a character, you'd be like, "Fuck it, we own him now."
Or they'd bring the cockroach along, and they'd Bebo it, or the rat, or the mouse, and yeah, Bebo and the
Jesus
mouse begin
Christ.
Making out.
Yeah. And on that note,
yes, indeed,
there is one other thing we actually this pre-show we were like, "What else happened?" There's one other thing that at least I watched this week mm-hmm. that is very important to my life.
Oh,
Magicians came back, sir.
Oh yes, me too. I too magicianed along with you.
I am seriously growing worried this is the last season.
I've been kind of assuming it, actually.
Yeah,
I just don't know.
Feels like it?
Yeah. I think there's that thing that a lot of shows do after a while. They lose, like, when they lose their point of view character. It doesn't mean the show sort of suffers for it necessarily, but suddenly the entire sort of storytelling engine shifts and suddenly the ending is visible. And that's
yeah.
what is, and you can see that with the Magicians.
Right. You know, like, there's a certain weight to it.
That yeah.
said, if we're going to do a season of Let's Deal with Grief,
mm-hmm.
holy shit.
Yes.
Like, they're nailing it in that way that, like, almost, like, Halt and Catch Fire did.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, just Alice just being completely lost, but
mm-hmm.
in a bad way.
Yeah. Elliot refusing to deal with his feelings at all.
As we are used to Elliot dealing, you know.
Right.
This is the Elliot thing, right? Like, he just gets right. self-destructive and self-medicates to a really bad place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, yeah, Margot showing all of the growth for the character.
Right. And dealing with that. I mean, I thought it was quite sad for Margot, who ends up sort of being stuck in a cell watching this sort of 300-year-old sort of ghost of her love. Who is almost certainly dead, right? You know, so it's, that was like, Jesus Christ,
I am willing
to
bet you cash by episode 3, they have
figured
out a way to go back in time, and then the game becomes, how do we prevent this guy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I would not take that bet because I would lose.
Watching that, like, when they did the play for the, like, and first of all, isn't that a great way to do all the exposition? Like, here's a play, telling you what happened over the, like, 300 years ago.
Oh,
but watching that, I was like, okay, Elliot's just checked out because it's Elliot, and we know he's not in a good place.
Right.
But I kept waiting for Margot just to snap.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weirdly tense because of that.
Yeah.
You know, I like Julia. I don't think making her kind of like the new focal character, which it feels like they're kind of doing, is a great move. Like, I really do like the character. I just... She hasn't been developed enough yet in a lot of ways.
I think you're right. I mean, it's weird because Quentin and Julia, I mean, Quentin was kind of the default main character. I mean, as they pointed out, you know, quite handily. But the ones that they sort of did the most work with were like Margot and Elliot, for example.
Well, and from a structural point of view, here's my issue.
Mm-hmm.
For years, and this is terrible, but for years, Elliot was a character who worked to try to figure out ways to make things happen. Julia was a character who things happened to.
Yeah.
And, like, Margot, for instance, is a character who made things happen the same way, like, but you can't quite center Margot because that just sticks you in fillery.
Right.
So it's like now they have to turn Julia into a character who becomes that fulcrum, and you can do it, but it's more work. And again, like, if they want to do the work, hey, I'm here, you know?
Yeah.
I'm here for it. But it feels like a weird step.
I think when you get a character who is essentially, I mean, if you look at the Magicians, I mean, in the very first episode, she's kind of magically sexually assaulted by the Hedge Witch. And then later on, she's literally raped by a god. And thereby, you know, gets more powers. And it's sort of like, this is... Yeah, it's hard to develop a character who starts off. When you say things happen to her and things are done to her, I mean
even when she loses her god powers, it's because someone else chooses it, right? Like she keeps being that kind of thing that things happen to, and that was an interesting dynamic between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it kind of does terrible things to her character, but now without that, she kind of has to fill this other role. And again, you can do it, but it's a little weird. Also, I am convinced we are seeing Penny 40 again.
Oh, yeah.
There is no reason to drop the line of we can't even establish communications in the underworld.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we need to.
Yes, exactly. I can understand never being able to see Quentin again, but Penny 40, definitely.
Right.
And also, I'm really liking this Penny's timeline or storyline, though.
Yes.
As the newest sort of break Bill's professor. I mean, often that sort of thing is death for a story, but this is really, really, really funny.
That's why I don't want this to be the last season. Like, I really do want them to just kind of continue on with, well, here are these idiots, right? And they're finding new ways to do the thing.
Right. I mean, I think probably the best example of a show that sort of got rid of not only its point of view characters, but all of its characters and still went along for a while would be Being Human.
Well, but it did it. I mean, yeah, it did. It shifted out like a bunch slowly.
Yeah.
And that's why it worked, right? Like, you never had multiple new characters at once.
Right.
But they did replace them all and it did work. So you can do it.
Oh, yeah. But of course, even at that point, the show sort of seemed to was unable to continue, or, you know, in some fundamental way. Still went out really well, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, and again, like, having Magicians back was just for like the weird dialogue, you know, straight down to like the Endgame joke.
when did you find time to watch Endgame?
right? And they're like, and you know, like in the books, and just Elliot's looking, you really need to read them. Like,
that's right. I'd forgotten. Yeah, it's, that was pretty great. Yeah, I was really, I'm just really happy to have that show back, and just to see how they work the grief angle, because I think that's going to be the main through line of the season.
And the other thing is, like, and here's where I start drawing a weird line, is we essentially have four plots, and let's remove one for a minute. Mm-hmm. Remove the fillery thing for right the second.
Okay.
Okay, we have the library in disarray.
Right.
We have break bills being overrun.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Katie trying to unify the hedges.
Yes.
Those all have the same solution.
Oh. That's true.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know, if you reformat the library so it basically is also a school,
right,
you can pull everything together.
Yeah, and you sort of remove the distinction between, you know, sort of the break bill students and the hedge witches. You bring them all into the fold, and they would often, I mean, and at this point they would probably all pass anyway, right? Because of the
yeah.
So there you go.
And I'm wondering, like, okay, so how does Fillory fit into this? Because that becomes the thing. Also, Jesus Christ, for a show that just loves doing this sort of thing, the incredibly sexist quest giver.
a literal chauvinist male pig. I mean, yeah.
I'm trying to remember what his name was, because his name was basically that.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I can't remember either. But that was pretty good. I mean, and there, like, if we talk about Julia as a character to whom things are done to, and also fundamentally how that sort of character trope is gendered. And explicitly in The Magicians. I mean, so her basically saying, what? I can't have a quest because I'm old.
Just her, like, facial expressions every time he said anything were priceless. Although I did look up his name, and it's even better than you think.
Okay.
It is Sir Effingham. He's
just
Mr. Fuck Pig. Effingham is his last
name. That's delightful.
God bless this show.
And I confess that I saw that clip. Part of that clip was released on the internet months ago, so I saw
it. Oh, was it?
Yeah, so it was sort of... So I wasn't... I didn't get the pleasure of seeing it sort of the first time, but it was still hilarious. So.
I was enjoying The Magicians, like... And again, only The Magicians gets to do this, I think. Their great way of promoting the show... Which they've been releasing little videos on Twitter of lines out of context.
Oh my god! Yeah, and of course their episode descriptions are their log lines are still as good as ever.
Are they? I haven't seen this one.
I don't remember what this one is, but I mean they're just as like terse and ridiculous. Like an upcoming episode just says Fen gets a haircut.
Yeah, that's. Let me see what this one is. Because yeah, no, those were they started like a while ago. And here we go. This episode was do something crazy, and it's Penny and Julia go stargazing. Elliot and Margot forget a sandwich.
Yes.
Next week, in No Better to Be Safe Than Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Quentin and Josh get cake. Quentin reflects on his actions. Oh, I'm sorry. What? No, that's season four.
Oh my
god!
That's yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. No. Sorry. Jeez. They only had the season 5 one up. It was just it was right under it.
That's. I think the next episode is Wrath of the Time Bees, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. The only log line they have right now is this first episode.
Okay. I was like, holy crap!
I was like, what? Josh and Elliot? Yeah. I'm reading that, going like, wait. And I remember the Josh and Elliot get cake. But yeah, no. Penny and Julia go stargazing. This is a thing that happened.
That's true.
Elliot and Margot forget a sandwich. This is a critical plot point.
Exactly.
Because of this fucking show.
Exactly.
What I haven't watched is Sarah Gamble has that show You on Netflix.
Yes.
And I'm kind of curious if she brings the same sort of thing.
Well, I have not.
Magicians.
I don't know. I have not seen the second season of. I don't think I've even seen the whole of the first season of You now that I think about it. But it is definitely a show about terrible, terrible people, and almost everybody in it is terrible. But that's all I really know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I will check it out. We are going to do a short episode today, so we should probably get going.
All righty, right.
And again, after this, we're gonna say like music, yay. But there might actually be like another like 10 minutes from the failed episode. There might not. We'll see what happens if you just hear
Absolutely.
music. There isn't.
Delightful.
We'll figure it out. We'll be back next week, hopefully slightly more coherent.
Possibly music.
Woo! Possibly music.